from the 15th floor of the Terradrome, I'm Jerry Terrifying, and this is the Mondo Coolcast. Hi. Welcome to the first episode of Jerry Terrifying's Mondo Coolcast. I would like to take some time here at the beginning of my very first podcast and tell you what I aim to do and accomplish with this project. It's something that I can do that's a little bit easier than making a video where, you know, you pretty much got to say, I'm going to talk about this game. I'm talking about one thing and, you know, doing it like that. So I'll be able to discuss video games in a much broader, much more open way. And the other thing that prompted me to do this is there's a retro game podcast out there, and I'm not going to call any names, and it's a good podcast, I listen to it, but it's not what I would call a retro game podcast, it's a Nintendo podcast. Like, the few times they've mentioned Sega, they didn't really know what the hell they were talking about. There's one specific thing, they mentioned a specific peripheral for the Sega Saturn that I'm quite fond of and called it useless, which could not be further from the truth. You know, instead of taking the 5 minutes to check it out on Wikipedia and see what the thing does and that it has an active community, you know, they just flippantly offhand mentioned that it's useless and went on. And the problem with that is there's a lot of gamers out there that don't know, just like they don't know. And I try to get the word about that specific peripheral out there, but this isn't a podcast about that one thing. Just the trend I've noticed across all the episodes of theirs that I've listened to is they're pretty much, you know, spending an hour or so stroking Nintendo's cock and talking about the NES and Super Nintendo. Whereas I'm the type of guy that on any given day I might play a TurboGrafx game or Xbox or Master System or 3DO or Virtual Boy for that often. Yesterday I was playing Teleroboxer. That's a pretty good game. Actually, every game I've played on Virtual Boy has been pretty fucking good, except for Mario Tennis, and that's just because I don't like tennis. There's no tennis video game that could get me to give a shit. So, with that one exception, every Virtual Boy game I've ever played has been fucking awesome. But anyway, so what I aim to do is to make an actual retro video game podcast. But it's not going to be strictly retro. I will mention some new games, but for the most part, all the games I buy are old. And I'm finding so many rich and wonderful entertainment experiences on older consoles. Like, right now, the game that's lighting my, lighting my fire is Galaga 90 for the TurboGrafx-16, which I'm going to make a video review about, but I love it, man. The music, the colors and graphics, and just the gameplay and the simplicity. It's a good, solid video game, and I absolutely am crazy about it. But you probably wouldn't hear about that one because it's not on the Nintendo or Super Nintendo, so trying to do something a little different. And another thing they do is they've had a bunch of cool interviews, and I would like to interview people in the video gaming community too, but I would also like to focus on people that are not well known, just the average Joe collectors, because they have interesting stories about video games and stuff too. I mean, it's cool to hear an interview with the Happy Video Game Nerd and people like that, but everybody knows who he is, and just watching his videos, you can learn a lot about that dude, you know? There's really not many mysteries about that guy, but I'd like to interview some of the smaller people, because, that sounds bad, and it's not even smaller people, just people that don't have the subscribers they deserve. Shit, people like me, man. I would like to get on some of these podcasts and do interviews and promote my channel. I think that's what an interview is. It's promotion. And the only problem I have with, you know, like the Happy Video Game Nerd is that he doesn't need promoting, man. Everybody knows that dude. I'm sure there's a few of us that don't, but everybody knows that dude, really. So it'd be cool to get interviews with just, you know, average dudes, as well as the big names. So that's one of the things I'd like to do with the Mondo Coolcast, and exchange ideas and talk to people. And you may not get this vibe out of me, but I am a shy person, so a lot of this is kind of just breaking out of that box and talking to people. Like, I actually happen to have telephone anxiety. Like, I flip the fuck out when I have to make calls to businesses or make appointments. I seriously sweat that shit. So, when I agreed to be on Gooch and the Douchebag Radio, I was kind of curious to see how that would go, but I hopped right in there. We were all talking about video games, and I was perfectly comfortable and normal and, you know, the same persona that comes across on my videos. That's just not how I am in most social situations. I'm usually pretty quiet until I get to know people, so. Well, maybe that's what it was. I mean, I've exchanged a handful of emails with Gooch and the Douchebag. Mostly DB, really, but I also listen to their podcasts and watch their videos for months and years now, so maybe that's why I felt at home with them. So I'd like to see what's like just getting here and firing up Skype and interacting with people and talking to them in a very telephone-like manner to kind of break out of that box of phone anxiety, because that's a freaking silly thing to have. Like, going places and interacting with people in person, I'm, you know, comfortable with it. I do that shit every day. I don't have a problem with it. But when it comes to the telephone, man, it's one of the 37 ways Jerry Terrifying is fucking insane. Phone anxiety. Maybe we'll discover what the other 36 ways are. Actually, I'm going to clue you in on one right now. I'm holding a 1 gallon jug of orange juice with a straw in it, because when I got in shape a few years ago, I quit drinking pop, and orange juice is like shit. Since I've been a kid, I've loved orange juice, but orange juice is, you know, the only thing I drink besides water, so I fucking suck that shit down. Also, when I'm in shape and training for marathons, I drink about 3/4 of a gallon of water a day, if not more. During the summer, when it's super hot, when I worked at the airport, I'd probably drink 1.5 gallons of water a day. The airport security guys gave me shit when I had my gallon jug of water and would walk through the security. What's that? It's fucking moonshine. I'm gonna get tore up. What the fuck do you think it is? It's a goddamn water bottle, asshole. Shit. So anyway, that's one of the ways I'm crazy. I don't even pour my orange juice into a glass. I just stick the fucking giant straw in the gallon jug and crank that shit out, man. I fucking love orange juice. But anyway, enough about ways that I'm totally batshit insane. Yeah, that's my general mission statement. I want to make a podcast that actually talks about the entirety of retro gaming. Shit, dude. I might even talk about some Commodore 64 or Atari 800XL games, because I've got some of those. I can get into that. If you can manipulate a pixel with a joystick or D-pad, I'm a fan of it. I like that. And besides running and pumping up the iron, that's my only other hobby, really. And it's a social thing, you know? Some of the best times I had at my job were bullshitting with my friend Josh about video games and just talking about all the cool shit I was learning about. You know, the past 2 or 3 years I've been going insane on game facts, and I bought the Digital Press Collector's Guide and have found out tons of amazing things out of that book. And YouTube. Jeez, YouTube is an amazing resource for video games. And I've just learned so much and spent so much money on eBay and Craigslist getting all these great deals, and I want to talk about it. So I'm also going to throw out my email address. If you have any questions, comments, hate mail, death threats, send them to mondocoolmedia@gmail.com. Yes, that is my email address for this podcast and all things pertaining to the Mondo Cool Network of Entertainment Media. So that's my general mission, to have a cool podcast, talk about crap besides Nintendo. Everybody talks Nintendo. When I first started getting into something that you could call retro gaming, it was when I bought my front-loading Nintendo Entertainment System about 10 years ago from a consignment shop. And I collected, you know, I got probably 50, 60 Nintendo games, and that was fine. But once I got that decent job at the airport and had some money to piss away, man, I was on Craigslist and eBay, I was buying up Sega Saturns and Genesis and Dreamcast, because I never had anything Sega when I was a kid. My brother had a Genesis, but that was close to around the time he moved away from home. So Yeah, pretty much the way my timeline with gaming goes is, my brother had a Nintendo in a couple games, so I didn't really spend that much time with it. I used to play the shit out of Rampage. And then I got a Game Boy, and that was mine. So I have a very, very special place in my heart for the Nintendo Game Boy. And then I'm upgraded to the Super Nintendo when that came out. And then after the Super Nintendo, I eventually got a PlayStation, and then PlayStation 2. And that was pretty much it. I didn't get into any of the video gaming magazines or the internet. I didn't really blow up on the internet till, 1999 is when I first started interneting pretty hardcore. And, yeah, man. So, I didn't even really get into the internet gaming scene until, until about the PlayStation 2 era. So that's my history, and like, now I've got all these consoles. If you check out my YouTube page, I got a list of all the consoles. Or actually, if you check out JerryTerrifying.com at the collections page, it's got a list of every video game and every system that I own. Those are all the legitimate ones. If I counted my bootleg games, I'd probably have another 150 games. But, so that's my history up until about 2007. And then in 2007, I bought a Sega Genesis, and it was all downhill from there. After that, man, I was hooked. Me and my girlfriend, we went to the junk store, bought up a bunch of Sega Genesis games, and that was a hell of an experience. My girlfriend bought me my very first copy of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and that was fucking awesome that my girlfriend knows what Donkey Kong Country and Sega Genesis is. So, it wasn't long after that that I thought, hey man, freaking Sega's cool, I love this Genesis thing, let's check out the Dreamcast. And I'm like, wow man, the Dreamcast, this thing's pretty fucking cool. And then I heard about the Netlink, I was like, oh man, I need a Sega Saturn. Actually, the Sega Saturn was the first 32-bit console I ever played. I didn't own it. My aunt's boyfriend at the time, Stan, I think, he had one. I used to go over there and play the motherfucking shit out of Road Rash and Panzer Dragoon. And he was always playing Myst, which he got pretty far in the game. And Myst is one of those things that I will never touch. It's just a series of moving pictures and pretty hard puzzles, man. It's too hard for me. I mean, I could probably go through it, but I'd probably rely on a FAQ. Yeah, man. So, around 2007, I just started going nuts on eBay. And I had the disposable income. I bought a Wii on launch day. That's the first time I ever bought anything on launch day, which is a damn shame because I don't get that much use out of it, man. The last game I bought for it was Metroid Prime 3, but I bought that used for like 15 or 20 bucks. And then before that, I got Mad World. And then the last game before that I got was Smash Brothers. So those, you know, haven't really been touching the Wii too much. I use it mostly to play GameCube games in 480p, because I have the component cable for it. But yeah, man, these past 3 years now, I've just been snapping up consoles like nobody's business. Then I heard about the TurboGrafx. Ooh, man. Those little Hue cards, I just thought, hey, that is the coolest shit ever. And they come in a jewel case, like a CD. Must own. And the Sega CD and 32X, oh god, I love those. The Genesis is the coolest damn console ever, because it's a fucking Voltron. And, everybody talks shit about it. What actually got me the most interested in 32X and Sega CD is the AVGN videos. And for the most part, everybody that, you know, only knows about the Sega CD and 32X from Angry Video Game Nerd, they all hate it. You know, they're too busy swinging off his nuts and taking everything he says as the gospel truth. And it's like, wow, that actually looks pretty cool. And had to have one, so I bought some of those up. And now I've got every main console and all the, you know, not so mainstream consoles, your 3DO and TurboGrafx, Virtual Boy. I got a couple WonderSwan colors, the Neo Geo, like I've got all that crap, man. The only thing I'm really missing is the CDI, and I'll pick one up if I ever see one for the right price. I just have yet to see one for a decent price. So, always got my eyes out. Oh yeah, I got the Jaguar too. That's another. It's not really a main console. It tried to be. But, yeah, man. So that's my history as a game player. And, you know, to go along with those consoles, I've been snapping up games left and right. Over the past year and a half, my game collection has pretty much doubled. And, you know, some of those numbers are inflated because of Atari and television games, stuff like that. You know, I don't really like counting those as one full game to the collection, even though they are, but, you know, you get a lot of them for $6, you know, you get a giant fucking box of 30 games, so that kind of inflates the numbers a little bit. I don't have that many Atari games, but, yeah, man, maybe 2 years ago, my collection was probably, in terms of numbers, probably less than half of what it is today, maybe even closer to one-third. So, and that's what I love about retro gaming. It's so inexpensive. To me, an expensive retro game couldn't even pay for half of a current-gen game. You know? Like, the most I'm willing to spend for most old-school games is $20. That's pretty much my limit. Unless it's something special like Snatcher. I coughed up the $90 for that, and I fucking cherish it and love it, and, you know, carefully examine the manual and the artwork, and just love the hell out of that game, man. That is a classic game. If you have a Sega CD, or if you're one of those weirdos that likes emulation, by all means, do whatever it takes to play Snatcher. Because I played it twice on a burnt copy. And I was like, nah, I need to have the real thing. I need to have the case. And, man, it just feels good having that in the collection. Whew. And, the other good thing about having the real copy is the lip syncing lines up. When you, for whatever reason, on the burnt version, the lip syncing's a little off. And the longer a cutscene is, the more off it is. So. But it's not anything too distracting, it's just something you kinda notice and put up with. But, yeah, that's my history as a gamer. That's how I got into it. If you go back to my, YouTube page, and you scroll all the way back to the early videos when it was a video blog, and I was all skinny and sexy and a champion and shit. You'll see a video towards the beginning, and it's basically just me saying, I bought a Sega Genesis, now give me some games. And ever since then, man, that's the point. That's when it was that I went from, you know, I play video games to, man, video games are the motherfucking shit. It's really been in these last few years that I've been so cuckoo for games. And, couldn't be happier about it. I freaking love this stuff. I've also taken up an interest in modding and, you know, custom paint jobs and trying to learn about electronics and, you know, soldering crap and... So it's also providing me with some sort of outlet for creativity, because it's been years since, like, I used to love drawing when I was a kid, and it's been years, it's probably been 10 years since I sat down and drew, you know, all damn day long. And, so this gives me another outlet for some smidgen of artistic creativity type junk. And, also this, the podcast. You know, if this, takes off, if I can keep it up sitting here in the, the Terrordrome talking to myself about video games. Yeah, you know, it's just a fun hobby, and there's so much to video gaming, so many aspects. The collecting, playing games, talking to people, and, you know, showing off your collection and looking at other people's collections and what they're buying and what they think about this game or that. It's just very awesome. So, audio comments. If anyone out there has audio comments, emails, you know, send that stuff in. Send emails, audio comments. I'll take a YouTube video response and talk about it. YouTube comments, anything, any sort of question you have about anything. Do you want some recommendations for the 3DO? Because I got a couple. I've got several. Tips on where to find deals and just anything, man. Talk to me, people. if you would like to appear on an episode of the Mondo Coolcast and do a little bullshitting about some video games, hell yeah, dude. Holler at me. Let me know. Talk to me. We'll set that shit up, man. Any burning topics you want to talk about, but you don't want to go through the hassle of starting your very own podcast just to do some bullshitting, come on for an episode. Guest host with me. Tell me about it. Tell the world about it. Let the people know how you feel about shit. Call of Duty or whatever the hell the hip kids are playing right now. I don't have any problem talking about current-gen video games, but I am going to try to sway away from it. But like I said, it's not necessarily... It's just a general video game podcast with heavily leaning towards retro games. And when I say retro games, that's exactly what I mean. Not Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Because that's pretty much all you get in most retro game podcasts. I mean, sure, that's where all the cool games were, but there's such a colorful history when it comes to the wonderful world of digital, pixelated, vector graphic-y, awesome entertainment. You know, there's just so many more things out there than Nintendo and Sega, and they deserve to be talked about, especially motherfucking Galaga 90. That is the best retro game I have discovered in a long time. I have always loved Galaga. And, hell yeah, man. So, I think I'm going to wrap it up. I think, 20 plus minutes. It's probably going to be a little bit less after I edit out some of the silent pauses and fuck ups and all that crap. So let me know what you think. I had at least one comment out there saying that they would listen to a podcast, and if it's just one person out there listening, shit, that's enough, because before you know it, one turns to two, and two turns into like a gajillion. So I'm going to put this up on Podomatic and, check out RSS feeds and how to make shit appear on iTunes and all that crap, because I don't really know, because I haven't really looked yet. That's the way I do things. I just leap in head first. I'm a firm believer that if you want to do something, start doing it. Don't sit around dreaming about it. When I was a chunker and I wanted to get in shape so I could go out and beat people up, I took my fat ass outside and started running. I started pumping iron. I started getting in shape. And all the time thinking about all the faces I could punch in when I was, a super beast. And I never got that chance. I started boxing for like a month, but had to give it up because I was working third shift at an airport. And when you're running, 13 miles every other day, pumping iron, working third shift, trying to maintain perfect, awesome, kick-ass champion nutrition, and then you got to go downtown, and the beginning boxing classes suck because, you're probably going to spend about 6 months before you get to start bashing faces in. And it's like, they had me doing simple-ass cardio workouts, and, there's people that just walked in that are dying, and I'm like, really? Because I ran 10 miles before I came here, and I'm not even breathing heavy or sweating. Like, I'm a fucking beast. So that was kind of discouraging. It's like, do you have a class for people that are champions? Or what? Not that I wanted to box competitively, because, I was probably about 200 pounds. And granted, I was nothing but endurance and muscle at the time. Some other 200-pound dude would probably beat the shit out of me, because they've probably been boxing for 10 years, But I never got that chance to start, punching faces. Anyway, man, this is how my podcast is going to be. I fucking ramble. I love to talk when I think someone's listening, and if you downloaded this, then you're listening. Especially if you've made it this far. If you've made it into the 25-minute mark, Well, like I said, the time will be a little bit off because I'm going to be editing out a lot of silent pauses and shit. But if you've made it this far, I guess you like it. Shit, I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like I said before I went off on a wild tangent about punching faces, I'm a firm believer that if you want to do something, just start doing it. Hammer out the details later. You'll get better at it. This is the first episode. It's a fucking practice run. Doesn't matter how bad this shit sucks. Just as long, you know, most people aren't going to hear this one. People are going to start listening around episode 20 if there is one. Anyway, like I've said a kajillion times, if you've got any video game questions, any requests, constructive criticism, shit talking, death threats, hate mail, whatever you got, audio comments, let me hear your audio, let me read your text, and shoot those emails off to mondocoolmedia@gmail.com. And it's spelled just like it sounds, mondocoolmedia@gmail.com. And hopefully I have some of that shit to respond to for episode 2. Right now I'm thinking every other week, and probably try to release it a little bit earlier in the week, because a lot of people like to listen to their podcasts at work. I sure know I did. I used to MP3 players, real cheap, and it was about the size of a pack of gum. And what I would do was, I worked on an airport, so those earmuff-style hearing protection things that you see at the shooting range and shit like that, I wore those. And inside one of the ear, I would stuff my MP3 player down to get through the metal detectors at work, because you're not allowed to have anything that uses flash memory. You know, you can't take CDs in, because it was an international airport. You could be stealing information for the terrorists or whatever the fuck they thought. So I'd smuggle in my MP3 player through that, and that's how I got it through the metal detector, because they went ahead and assumed my hearing protection was metal, which never actually went off, but I didn't want to send it through the x-ray machine, so I could wear those head things on my head, and yeah, it didn't set off the metal detector, but they would do random bag searches, because I always took a book bag with that gallon jug of water in my lunchbox, and yeah, so that's how I'd smuggle my MP3 player in. And then in the other ear of it, I would have my earbuds, and then when I got onto the base, I'd go to the bathroom, I'd wear a bandana, and in the back of the bandana, on the back of my head, above the knot, is where I'd have the MP3 player, and then on top of my head, I'd have all the wire for the earbuds, and then popping out of my bandana would be the earbuds. So I'd put those on, and then my job was loud as fuck. Like, it was required hearing protection. So I would put the hearing protection on, and then I'd have the earbuds inside of that, and no wires were visible, and I could hear it perfectly because it was under the hearing protection, and by having the MP3 player above that knot on the back of the bandana, I had access to the buttons. So it was like the slickest fucking setup, man. So anyway, again with the rambling, that's how I would listen to podcasts at work, and I loved it, man. That shit made the night fly by. Also, I'd listen to Coast to Coast AM. I subscribed to Streamlink, and would get that shit every morning. And, you know, Coast to Coast AM's like a 3 or 4 hour long show. It's a little bit shorter when you chop out all the commercial breaks, and AM radio has long-ass commercial breaks. So it was like a 3 hour show. And, you know, man, that was that made the shifts fly by, listening to people talk about Bigfoots and crap. And I didn't have any retro game or video game podcasts to listen to back then, but I did listen to the Dragon Ball podcast. I still listen to the Dragon Ball podcast. DaiZex, DAIZEX.com, and love that shit. Man, that's awesome. So I understand that people like podcasts. So I forget what the fuck I was even on a rant about. So it would be a shame for me to record my very first podcast without actually including some video game content. So I'm going to tell you guys a tale about my most current Craigslist conquest. And it starts with my favorite Craigslist conquest to brag about, when I got the Model 1 Genesis, Model 1 Sega CD 32X, and a game and a bunch of shit for $20. That guy, I bought a lot of shit from him. He didn't know much about Sega stuff, and nobody was buying Sega shit, so he said, make an offer, and I was like, give you $20 for that big heap of awesomeness, and he's like, sure. So, that worked out really well. But while I was there, he knows that I'm super into video games and shit, so he is asking me some general questions about all the other Sega crap. I'm like, well, you have the black Dreamcast, which is slightly more rare than the white Dreamcast, so... you know, go ahead and ask a couple more bucks for that. And, I wasn't interested. I'd love to have a black Dreamcast, but I don't need one. Anyway, I went out to his garage and was looking at all the other crap he had, and he has a bunch of shit I'm probably going to end up buying. And there was a Panasonic FZ1 3DO, and that's the Panasonic 3DO with the slide-out disc tray, and is, you know, a real sexy-looking machine. But the only problem was a lamp had fallen over on it and burned a big hole in it. So right under where it says Panasonic, like right in the middle, there's this big round crater burnt into it. And, you know, his theory that a lamp fell on it's pretty damn good, because, you know, what else would make a wound like that? So that was a couple months ago, and I was like, oh, that's a 3DO, it does this and that, and here's some interesting things about it, and it's pretty cool. And then he had a box full of Commodore 64 shit. He has one of the cassette tape drives and two diskette drives, which eventually, in a couple more weeks or months or whatever, when I get some more money, I'm gonna ask if he still has that shit and, you know, offer him $20 for the lot of it, you know, and hopefully that works out. But this week on Monday, I had sent him an email and said, hey, do you still have that 3DO? And he did, and I said, well, I'll meet you on Monday and buy that crap from you, because he lives out about 15 miles away from me, but he works about 3 miles away from me, so I've met him near his workplace a couple times and bought shit in the parking lot looking shady as hell, right? So I met him and bought the 3DO, and he's like, actually, the amazing thing is he only wanted $15 for it because it had that big crater in it, and because I buy shit from him all the time. So, $15 for it was a freaking steal. He's like, well, I wasn't able to test it because I don't have any games, and it does power on, and the tray works, and it's like, hey, man, that's cool, $15, I'll take it. And yeah, man, that's a hell of a deal. I brought it home, and it works perfect. Every game I've thrown at it has played just fine. I was playing the shit out of some Gex earlier, and that's actually yesterday I had this idea, but the reason why I wanted to play Gex is because if you've seen my YouTube channel, I've probably mentioned my Sonic Sega Genesis, where I painted a Sega Genesis like Sonic the Hedgehog, because damn it if that doesn't make a ton of fucking sense. And it looks gorgeous, and is my actual first electronic mod. I put a little LED in it. Definitely the simplest electronic mod anyone can do. But I'm proud of it, you know. I used my soldering iron on a circuit board for the first time and did a fucking perfect job. So I'm very proud of myself. And I had the brilliant idea of, why not paint a Gex 3DO? Because the closest thing the 3DO ever had to a mascot was Gex the Gecko. So what I'm thinking is, the top part of the case, like probably 90% of the case, I'm going to paint that kind of lime green. And then the bottom half, that kind of greenish yellow, or yellowish green, I guess, paint the very, very bottom bit of it that color. And then if you look at Gex, his eye, like his brow, is purple. So, like, I had planned the entire time, I'm going to buy this 3DO on the cheap and do a case mod. So I'm going to get out the Dremel, I'm going to cut out a rectangle, and get rid of that giant crater that's burnt out of it, and I'm going to get a light purple piece of plexiglass, and fix that to the bottom, and then I will have effectively a disc window, except for when you open it up, there's RF shielding, so it would just be a piece of tin, or whatever the hell RF shielding's made out of. I'm not a metallurgist. But it is magnetic, and so whatever. Whatever the hell metal they use for the RF shielding. So I'm just going to scrap that, because, you know, FCC be damned. And once you take off the RF shielding, which pretty much just snaps out of place, then you can see about a third of the disc where it spins. And that's pretty much exactly where the disc window should be, I'm thinking. Or, you know, maybe this disc window will be completely useless and all you'll see is the RF shielding. I don't know. Hopefully you'll be able to see the disc spin. And then for the access the CD-ROM access light and the power light, it's actually two LEDs each. So the power's got two red LEDs, and the access light has two green LEDs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to rip those out of there and solder in some purple LEDs. And I will leave two LEDs soldered to the board like they're supposed to be, but one LED each, I'm going to run a little bit of wire and try to get some LEDs right under the disc window so that'll light up. And that should look pretty damn cool. Or maybe I'll just run one LED. Oh, now I'll figure it out when I'm in there and poking around. But I do plan on having the disc window light up a little bit, and having the power and the CD-ROM access lights a similar shade of purple, provided I can find the correct color LEDs. So you'll have the green with the little hint of yellow accenting across the bottom, like the very bottom 10% of the console, and then the purple disc window and the purple LED lights on the front. And I see it in my head already, and that is a fucking beautiful 3DO, a Gex 3DO, and I cannot wait to get started on that project. So maybe sometime this week, because it's supposed to be rainy and cold the rest of this week, maybe after I get up later today, I will chop out that part of the case. And man, I'm gonna probably have a hard time finding the right shades of green, and it's probably gonna cost a couple bucks to get that purple plexiglass. But I ordered some samples of plexiglass from the one website, and I didn't get any purple, so I'm just going to check out what they got on their website and buy some purple plexi from them and see if they can't cut me off a little piece and sell me that, because I don't know if it's the website I got the samples from or not, but one of the websites selling plexiglass, the smallest you could get was 2 square feet, which is retardedly huge as fuck. You know, when I just need a strip of plexi that's maybe 8 by 4 inches or 8 by 3 inches, you know, about that size. But, you know, I think that will be a absolutely drop-dead gorgeous 3DO, and you do not see many 3DO mods out there, because, shit, there ain't that many 3DOs out there, 3DO enthusiasts. So I think it'll be a unique and very, very fun project. And, yeah. So another project I'm going to work on, speaking of these Mondo Cool mods, and yes, I'm going to use the fuck out of the Mondo Cool moniker, and alliteration is very much a friend of mine, I'm going to build a website, and I'm going to use it as a portfolio for my mods, and I'm going to try to start selling mods. I think it would be a fun little project, make a little bit of money in a very, very fun, interesting way. And a very excellent YouTuber has already commissioned a Sonic Genesis from me, which I've been working on it tonight, actually, after repaint the top half of the case. The bottom half of the case is fine. It's done. I just need to apply the clear coat and let it, you know, sit and cure and all that shit. But I need to redo the top half of the case. But it's going to be raining, so I'm not going to be able to paint it. So I'm just getting the sanding out of the way so that all I got to do is go out there and apply the blue layer of paint, and it should be good to go. But I've got three distinct different mods. I've got a GameCube with a disc window, and then I've got a black PS1 with a different style disc window, and then I've got the two Sonic Genesis that I've done. So that's, you know, three pretty sweet case mods so far, and I think the 3DO project's really going to make it shine. The second mod project that I ever came up with that I really want to do and still want to do, but I'm going to have to do some stenciling and, you know, paint some patterns. So it's a lot more of a complex project than, it's more complex of a paint job than the Gex 3DO. You know, it's going to be the most complex thing that I do paint job wise. And it's a Nights into Dreams themed Sega Saturn. I've got like a couple different shades of purple and white, and you know, I'm gonna try to incorporate as many colors of the Jester from Knights, because you know, you can't really have a Sonic Saturn because there really weren't any good Sonic games. There's Sonic R and what was it, Sonic Gem Collection, I think. It's a compilation of all the Genesis Sonic games. So there weren't really any standout Sonic games on the Saturn, so it doesn't really make sense. And the closest thing to a mascot the Saturn had had was, of course, Knights. So I think a cool, you know, two different shades of purple and some white accents. Man, that could be a pretty sexy Sega Saturn. And actually, there's a lot of Sega Saturn modding I want to do. I also want to build a region switch, which, after doing the LED mod and soldering that like a fucking pro, I think I'm ready. I've got four spare Saturns. Got five. So I'm ready to rip one open and do some soldering. And there's also another mod I saw, which isn't really, you know, that special, but it kind of is. Someone took a battery box that holds two AA's, soldered the wires from the battery box to the contacts where the CR2032 button cell goes, so that they're using two AA's to back up their memory. So I'm probably going to do that. So I'm going to end up with one hell of a modded the fuck out Sega Saturn. Because right now my Sega Saturn's got a mod chip in it. It's also got the video CD card in it. And, you know, so if you take the mod chip, the video CD card, a region switch, and the battery mod, and on top of all that, throw in a freaking cool-ass paint job, you know? Man, that'd just be a top-notch Saturn. I'm also thinking of throwing in a fan. I don't know how I'd wire that up. I might just wire it up independently, you know, run it off batteries. But running that mod chip, I've noticed that, like, back when I was playing my free copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga, I would play for, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours, you know, get to the next disc, and it would have a hard time reading CDRs. But it would still read most of the real games. But if I cooled it down, if I held up my little desk fan, aired it out, and cooled it down, then it would start working again. So I'm thinking there's a heat issue. So what I should probably do is get some thermal paste and slap it on that chip. But I'm an overkill kind of guy, and any excuse to start chopping shit up with a Dremel is good enough for me. So if I'm going to cut up the case and put a region switch and embed an actual region switch on there, fuck it, man. I might as well chop up the other side and put a fan on there and run that shit off battery power. So, yeah, those are the two big mod projects that I've got going on in my brain. Also, I want to put a mod chip in a PlayStation 1 because I've got that fan-patched copy of Police Knots, and I started playing it on the PC, which is good because you can use the mouse, but the emulation was a little slow and buggy. Like, during some scenes there'd be some slowdown, which admittedly is probably my ancient computer. But I just, you know, I like playing video games on a console, and if I do get a mod chip to play Police Knots, I'm gonna end up getting the PlayStation mouse. So realistically, I'd probably be just fine playing it on the PC, but I'm a weird dude. I don't like PC gaming. I like console gaming, and that's something you won't hear much out of me, any mention of PC games. That is not my bag, and the closest thing I get to PC gaming is Commodore 64, but even then I still play off a cartridge, because I don't have a disk drive or a data set drive, so the only Commodore 64 games I got run off a cartridge. Anyway, those are the mod projects I got in my mind. Oh man, just picturing it in my head, that Gex 3DO is freaking gorgeous. And the Sega Saturn, definitely a region switch. That's the first thing I want to do to it. I don't know if I'm going to end up doing a paint job on a Sega Saturn or not, because that's one of my favorite consoles, and I just think that son of a bitch is sexy as hell. That's a good-looking system. And, yeah, so a region switch and the battery mod. Because who the hell likes going out and getting a bunch of CR2032s? I have a bunch of them in my house, but fuck that, man. Double A. I've got way many more double A's. I've got a huge fucking box full of double A's. So it'd be a lot easier to just swap out some double A's on a battery box. And what I'm going to do is the little battery flap, I'm just going to mount the battery box to the back of that. So it won't look too bad at all, really. And then I'm going to cut out a little hole and embed my switch for the region. Yeah, region switch. Bleh. So, yeah, man. That's my actual video game content for my inaugural cherry poppin' Mondo Coolcast. So if you've got any comments, suggestions, any shit talking, whatever you got, let me have it. Hopefully I have something to read, something to say on the next episode of Jerry Terrifying's Mondo Coolcast. And I'm thinking of asking a friend to be the first person that I interview. And this person that I'm thinking of is an honest-to-goodness, genuine video games journalist. And so much so that he has a quote on the box of a video game. And he's a very interesting guy. I've talked to him on the phone just once, but like I said, I've got that phone anxiety, so the fact that I could talk to a guy on the telephone for like a couple hours about games and movies and shit, you know, he's a hell of a guy. He's pretty cool dude. So I'm gonna ask him out of the kindness of his heart if he will agree to be interviewed. Because there's a couple things I'd like to talk to him about. You know, like, this is a guy that, out of the kindness and goodness of his heart, sent his friend to E3 to go talk to David Hayter. And I don't know if he got to talk to Hideo Kojima or not, but he may have. But I think he actually got to speak with David Hayter, and I am such a fucking Metal Gear fanatic. Like, I would shit a brick if I got to talk to David Hayter. And also, I'm a pretty big fan of The Watchmen. And David Hayter is the screenwriter that wrote The Watchmen, and I fucking love that movie. Haven't read the comic books yet. I plan to someday. But, man, that was a hell of a kick-ass movie. I love superhero movies that are like that, you know? I like superhero movies, but not the... Yeah, I don't know. Fuck it, man. I just like superhero movies. Shit, let's leave it at that. So anyway, I'm thinking for my first big interview, I'll see if that dude will talk to me on Skype, and, the biggest argument we usually get into is, digital distribution. I'm gonna try to shy away from that one, but, he's pretty for it, and I'm mildly against it. Like, I don't want it to put physical distribution to rest, you know? I am perfectly fine with them coexisting, and I know it's gonna be like that for years and years and years to come, but I just shudder to think that someday it's all gonna be digital. And we butt heads on that one a lot. But usually in a very friendly, understanding manner. So I'm gonna definitely see if that dude will be my first guest. And, you know, hopefully when he mentions it on his website, I get a little bit of traffic out of it. Shameless self-promotion tactics and shit. But yeah, now I think I am done with the Mondo Cool Cast, the very first episode. By all means, send in emails so that I can have an email segment. Leave some comments. I'm going to throw a couple of URLs at you. The overwhelming majority of my internet work can be found at youtube.com/JerryTerrifying. That's where I'm going to advertise the fact that I'm starting a podcast, so for the most part, all of my podcast listeners will be coming off of my YouTube channel. Also, I have a personal website, JerryTerrifying.com. I very rarely update any of the content, but I do keep my game collection up to date, and I have every video game I own listed by system, and then in alphabetical order, as well as every system that I own listed at the bottom. So if you are curious about what I got, check that out. You could probably get a pretty good sense of my taste in video games by looking at it. I keep a video game blog at mondocool.net, and the last URL I have for you is twitter.com/JerryTerrifying. Don't really post too much about video games, but, shit, man, go ahead and follow me. If you tweet at me, I will probably read those comments on the air if it pertains to the Mondo Coolcast. So, yeah, get a hold of me, dude. Check my shit out. And that's gonna do it for the very first episode of Jerry Terrifying's Mondo Coolcast. I noticed that my promo video thing alerting the masses to me being on Gooch and the Douchebag Radio only got a little more than 100 views, so I'm thinking a very small portion of my subscriber base is gonna check this out. So, shit, man, try to get the word out there. If you liked this, let the people know. If you hated this shit, tell twice as many people, because that'll probably get more people to listen to it. So, I'm also a firm believer in that there's no such thing as bad publicity. Publicity is publicity. Get my word out there. The more people talk shit, the more people are going to listen to this, so they have shit to bitch about. It's just human nature. Hey, it's not my fault. If you made it to the end of the Mondo Coolcast, holy shit, it's almost been an hour. You're an awesome subscriber. You're an awesome fan, and If you want to leave me some audio comments, write in some emails, I will try to read some of your comments if you leave it on my YouTube promo crap. And get your voices heard too. Chime in if you have any ideas, anything to bitch about, you know, let me know. I would love to read it on the Mondo Coolcast. If you would like to be interviewed or be a guest host for an episode, that is also awesome. Get a hold of me. And that does it for the very first episode of the Mondo Coolcast. Until next time, I leave you with this.
Let me see you shake them titties, pop that pussy, doo-doo brand. Doo-doo brand.